If you'd like to share again out of the 44th chapter of Isaiah. I found out that we can never get enough of the word.
Amen.
Some of the passages that we've read, if we read them over and over again, we'll find that they always have significant meaning. And there are times that it even seems like it comes even closer. Our understanding gets a little bit better because the lives that we live help us to understand what God's word tried to teach us. In the 44th chapter of Isaiah, the Bible reads again, beginning at verse 21, "Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee. Thou art my servant, O Israel. Thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions, and as a cloud thy sins return unto me. For I have redeemed thee. Sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, ye mountains, O forests, and every tree therein. For the Lord hath redeemed Jacob and glorified himself in Israel. Thus said the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, that spreadeth abroad the earth by myself. Thus said the Lord, thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things, that stretcheth forth the heavens alone, and spreadeth abroad the earth by myself." Supporting scripture, Ephesians 1 and 7. "In whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace." On the basis of those verses this morning, we would like to propose a question. That question this morning is, do you know the cost of redemption? Do you know the cost of redemption? When I look around at all these blessings in here, my heart just jumps up and down for joy. Physically, I don't feel like I need to feel this morning because I feel like Reverend Jeter, I feel like running this morning, but I don't feel I can't do that right now. See, that's what we got to understand is that there are those of us that run, there are those of us that shout, there are those of us that cry, and then there are those of you that actually sit there, but that don't mean you don't have nothing. A lot of folk feel like running. They just don't have the running spirit. But on the inside, somebody else might not be able to see it, but God knows that you feel it. And as long as God knows you feel it, don't worry about what your neighbor think about what you got. I don't shout for you to say, look at him shout. I shout because it's down on the inside. And I get the can't help it's in my feet. I hope and I pray that we, the people of God, would take time out for Jesus. We got time for everything else. If we want the church to go higher, from the pulpit to the door, we got to make some sacrifices of our so-called personal time. The church is lacking because everybody doing their thing. But here on the first Sunday of the year, let us at least try to get our house in order. This morning, God sends you a question. Do you know the cost of redemption? I was at a visitation of a great man of God on last evening. And as I sat there and I listened to all the many people get up and talk about Reverend James Stowe, a great man of God, a man that, as I echo the words that I heard last night, that was a holy man, a man that was totally humble, a man that believed more in God and the people of God than worried about a dollar. A man that gave almost all of his life as a servant for the Most High God. And I felt honored and I thought it was a privilege just to be there to hear the accolades of a man that lived such a great life. And there were those that said that he was a man, and those of us in here that know him, we know that he wasn't a long-winded preacher. And a lot of them made reference to the fact that if you didn't get there on time, he may have finished before you get there. There were those of high authority that got up and they made comments about how he taught other ministers how to get up and know how to sit back down. We got folk that want 5-minute sermons, 10 and 15 minute sermonettes. And then if the preacher get too lengthy, then you get the reputation of being a long-winded, talk too long preacher. I don't try to be long-winded, and I don't necessarily try to be quick. I give it like God give it. But I found out, and I thought about it, sometimes I don't give God all that I need to give God. There are times that you got to be still to get your message. There's a message in every message for everybody in here. The whole message may not apply to you, but there's a piece in there for you. So what that lets me know is that you got to be attentive so you don't miss your piece. See, you get caught up on what you know hit somebody else, and then you start looking around to see their expression, to see how they're going to act now, because I know he's talking about them. But what about when it hits you? How you going to act now? The holiday season has come and gone. We're here on the second day of January. Anybody glad the holiday is over? Now, let me help you. That was a commercial holiday. Because the holiday I serve, he still got a birthday today. If you turned off Jesus after the 25th, then you're in trouble this morning. On December the 31st, several of us gathered here in this place. God gave us a scripture out of Matthew. And it talks about worrying about what you're going to eat and what you're going to drink and what you're going to put on your back. And the thought for the night was just take it one day at a time. Don't worry about your tomorrows. But thank God for all of your todays. You see, David said that this is the day that the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. It's not the 31st, but it's another Lord's Day. It's a day to be glad. It's a day to rejoice. It's a day to let the people of God know that I am a child of God. I'm glad to be here on the first Sunday of the year. Just to remind my brothers and sisters that we got a new year which brings about new beginnings. As we embark on this new journey into 2:11. Let us not forget the other scripture from Friday night. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all of the necessities of life will be added unto you. So, Faust Chapel, the first thing that we got to do is get our priorities straight. Our priority need to be is that, first of all, let us see what God would have us to do. I thank God that I serve a great God that gives us a renewed sense of hope, no matter what life has brought your way. The love and the power of Jesus has a way of making everything work out all right. We serve a God that is able to do anything but fail. I thank God that every now and again we have to let the enemy know that you can't sidetrack me. For I am a child of the Almighty God. I know that God is by my side. And I know that there are days that there are those of us that feel unworthy. Feel like that we just don't have any right to be blessed. Sometimes our load gets so heavy and we begin to wonder what in the world we're going to do. I come to tell somebody, you better learn how to vent. Don't hold on to everything. You got to have somebody to talk to. Talk to Jesus if you can't talk to nobody else. But don't never get so balled up to where you're about ready to explode. Find a way to vent. Don't tell it all. But you can tell enough to get enough out of you. Anybody ever realize it just helped to talk about things sometimes? Now, I know you can't talk to everybody. But you ought to have somebody that you can talk to. Somebody that you can trust. Somebody that really loves you, not for what you do for them, but just love you. The Bible teaches us that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But despite our sins, the Bible also teaches that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. So let us not live as a people that have no hope. Sometimes we act like we don't have any hope. Sometimes we act like when we say we don't know what we're going to do, we really don't know what we're going to do. But a lot of time when we say we don't know what we're going to do, we already talking to the Lord. We already start telling him all about our troubles. Every now and again, you ought to remember that the blood of Jesus was shed for the remission of our sins. Now, if the Bible declared that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, then we know that in order for us to be forgiven of those sins, then there had to be some bloodshed. And then once the blood has been shed, there are those of us that sang a song, I've been redeemed. I remember Sister Carr could bring that right on up for you. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. David said, oh, give thanks
unto the Lord, for he is good. For his mercy endureth forever. Then David says in the 107th Psalms, the second verse, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Anybody in here redeemed? I didn't hear nothing from this section. Anybody over here redeemed? Because I think I'm going to have to get a cheering section going on here. Because I don't want half my family to make it and half the family not make it. We're in this thing together. The Bible says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Anybody in Fall Chapel redeemed? Thank you. I go to too many funerals to play church. You can waste all your time you want to. You're not going to waste mine. When you give me this space, I'm going to use it for what God told me to come and do. If you get in a hurry, bye. See you next Sunday. But the redeemed of the Lord got to wait and tarry and see what God has in store for him. The Bible says, after you say so, whom he have redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Who is the enemy? Let me tell you something. The enemy is not a figment of your imagination. The enemy is not that tale that you heard of somebody with pointed ears and a long tail. The enemy is anything to get between you and your love for God. Anything, anybody. I don't care how much they say they love you. If they don't love Jesus, they don't love you. That's the enemy. But the Bible said that he will redeem you from the hand of the enemy. So many of us have said, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. But I wonder this morning, do you really know what the cost of redemption really means? First of all, redemption is deliverance by payment of a price. Redemption is to buy back. When you talk about being redeemed by the Lord, then you got to understand that there was a cost that had to be paid. The Bible declares that we were bought with a price. And that price was the blood of Jesus that he shed on Calvary's hill. But let us just for a moment look at the prophecy of Isaiah. Isaiah talks to the children of Israel. Isaiah encourages them that even though they have transgressed, even though they have sinned, that the God that they serve, God is going to redeem them. He's going to buy them back. He's going to give them their land and take them back to their homeland. The children of Israel was just like a lot of us. They had strayed and everybody had gone to do their own thing. But I thank God for his mercy. I thank him that he's a great compassionate God. Think about the children of Israel. God bless them, they sin and fall short. God bless them again, they sin and fall short. God bless them again, they sin and fall short. But God always have somebody to tell the good news, Charles. Isaiah had a commission one day. And Isaiah said, remember these? Oh, Jacob and Israel, don't you know that you are servants of the Most High God? God told me to tell you that he hadn't forgotten about you. God told me to tell you, Israel, that I've seen how you served other gods. I've seen how you put other things before me. But you are my chosen generation. And I love you so much that let me tell you what I'm going to do. I blotted out as a thick cloud all of your transgressions and all of your sins. Return. You can come on back to me now. Don't be ashamed about the thing that you did out there on Dixie Street. But you can come on back in the house now. Everything's going to be all right. Because I have redeemed thee. That's what the Bible says. Then Isaiah says, when God gives redemption, everybody get happy. You ever seen how sometimes when that one that you've been praying for, and all of a sudden out of nowhere, God speaks to their heart that particular day. They get up out of the pew and they come running down to the front. And all of a sudden tears start running down your eyes. The reason why. Because your loved one done been redeemed. Your loved one done got the message that I need a closer walk with the Lord. And not only did your loved one get happy enough to come up, it made you happy. When we get redeemed, look what God says. God says, oh, ye heavens, for the Lord have done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing. The mountains, the forests, the trees. Now if the mountains can praise God, why can't we praise him? If a bird can go twiddly tweet in the morning to tell God, I thank you for the worm that I see down there. You all hear me? No, you didn't hear me. What does God have to do to make us praise him? What else God say, Isaiah? Isaiah says that, thus said the Lord, thy Redeemer. Thy Redeemer. The Redeemer that formed thee from the womb. Says, I am the Lord. I make everything all by myself. I made you. I know what you're going through. I know you got some situations. I know that the young folks say you got issues. But I thank God this morning. I found out the cost of redemption. My freedom didn't come at a low price. The Bible said through the words of Paul, in whom we have redemption through his blood. The forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace. What is grace? That unmerited favor of God toward all mankind. God's grace is sufficient this morning. And God sent me by Fowl's Chapel to let somebody know that don't take your life for granted. God sent me by Fowl's Chapel this morning to let you know that you were bought with a price. And that price was the blood of the Lamb. Jesus died on Calvary. He died for your sins and for my sins. And I stop by to tell somebody that if you know that God is on your side, you better trust God with all that you have. Know that the Lord will make a way out of no way. For I found out that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that anybody that believe in the power of God, that they will be saved from their sin. I thank God that I know that my Redeemer lives. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. I've been redeemed, and I thank God this morning that it's by his blood. The Bible says, by his stripes, we are healed. And when I think of the goodness of Jesus and all that the Lord God has done, I can't help but tell God, thank you. Thank you for the first Sunday. Thank you for how you got me up this morning. Thank you for how you put clothes on my back. Thank you, God. Thank you, God, for blotting out my sin, putting the cloud out there, and telling me to come back to you. Anybody, everybody that need the Lord this morning, all you got to do, open up your mouth. Say, oh, Lord, have mercy on me. I need God down in my life this morning. There's a cost of your redemption, and it is the blood of the Lamb. When they pierced him, when they hung him there on the cross, Jesus died such a shameful death for your sins and my sins. That's where our redemption come into effect. You see, because until he shed that blood, redemption wasn't possible. They didn't kill all the goats and all the lambs they want to. Spread the blood anywhere you want to spread it. But only the blood of Jesus is able to save your sin sick soul. That's the cost of your redemption. And what Isaiah was saying to the children of Israel, I'm saying to the people of God this morning, don't lose your hope. Your hope is in Jesus. And Jesus loves us so much that he blots out all of our transgressions. And he is our ransom. He bought us back. And the thing that we must understand when we deal with redemption is that when something needs to be redeemed, somebody got to love it enough that they will take extreme measures. You see, sometimes we give up too quick. But Jesus realized that I'm going to have to go an extra mile. I can't find nobody here. So I'm going to give my only begotten son to come because I got to buy him back. They're mine. I love them. Oh, yeah, you know how your children are. They get on your last nerve. But they're yours, and you love them. Think about that concept when you think about the Lord looking at you. You are his. As messed up as you are and as good as you think you are his. If you're messed up, he can fix you. If you're good, he already fixed you. You can't get by him. You got to trust the power of God. For he is our Redeemer. He is the one that would do what nobody else would do in your life. I thank God for the Bible. Because when we read that Bible, it helps us to understand that people went through some things before we even were thought about. God brought them through, and he will bring you through.